Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 74 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is tape number 176, in other words, program 176, and you can order this program at the end. Sharon will give you four different ways how you can order it. Please specify whether you want a CD or a tape. Right now, let's go to the throne. We have some letters to read and then several messages here. Primarily, how to have God's life and living in you. Be consecrated unto the Lord. Be on the altar, burnt like a burnt offering, completely dead to our own ways, but alive in the Lord, resurrected, revived, as the Bible tells us. We have the difference between being in Christ and there's a difference between being in Christ, living in Christ, being in Christ, and being in Christ, communicating with Him, to living in Christ. And we'll bring this out in this message today. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, Satan has been hitting so hard. The little foxes, these are giants, Lord, that are coming against this ministry right within this very domain. And we ask, Lord, that you somehow make this to where it doesn't occur anymore. I ask that you make a move on it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I count it all joy, and I know that it's putting me through fire, and for a reason. I know that you have a greater purpose for me than what you have me doing at this present time. Anoint the service, Lord. Anoint everything that I say. Let it be directly from your throne. Let your words cascade down by the Holy Spirit into my mouth, and let it be dispensed through me into others. The things that you want the people in the world to know, and that they should accept your mercy, your salvation, those that are not saved and those that are on the brink of falling away, because you stated that many should fall away in the last days. And become part of the Antichrist. Lord, strengthen them before this happens, that souls may be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where are the letters? Where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, let me hear what they have to say.
Dear Spiritual Father in Jesus Christ, Pastor Alamo, praise the Lord. How are you? We are praying for your grateful ministry.
Yes, pray for this ministry. There's so many evil people that attack with such trivia every day, and they cannot shut up. It's impossible for them to obey the Word of God. And then what else?
Thanking you, sir, for your valuable literature that I have received from you, The Earthquake. We have been praying for your powerful ministry in the world. So many people are being blessed through your literature and tapes. They all are very, very encouraging to our church members and our newcomers.
I think this is for what troubles these people so much, that they have to continually be on the side of Satan to irritate and to consume so much of the people's time during the day, those that want to really serve the Lord and get the Word of God out to people that really want to hear it. But they're so wrapped up in their self that they don't care anything about God's people the people that have not yet been called, that the Lord is attempting to call into the ministry. A stumbling block to lack the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. They try to make themselves look whitewashed on the outside, and yet they're inside like dead men's bones. They're dead, and they don't belong. They don't belong. The Lord says that they're hypocrites, that they're liars, and that they are serpents. All right, then what else?
Thank you so much for your kind and positive reply. We pray to our God for your honest and meritorious gospel services to be fruitful more and more. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. When I distribute your literature, many Hindu people get very interested and confess their sins. We have 70 new people who are requesting Telugu Holy Bibles.
It's new Hindus. It's Hindus that were worshiping false God, and now they're saved through this literature. And no wonder Satan doesn't want this work to go on. But we reveal Satan. Pull the lid off him, that way it binds him here on earth, and the Lord then binds them here from heaven, and that's a complete binding. All right, then what?
10 people are requesting English Bibles, so please understand and kindly respond for this imploring supplication. Please pray for our ministry in India. We have been praying for your good health so that our God may utilize you as his powerful vessel in his vineyard. Please send at least 75 Telugu Bibles and 10 English Bibles and your CDs. I'm waiting for your kind reply. Thanking you, sir, Pastor Bushanam from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, make sure the mail room sends all these out to them, every single one, and that they go by air.
Okay.
All right, praise the Lord. Where's the next letter from?
From Piscataway, New Jersey.
Okay.
Your website was recommended to me, and I am very grateful to have found it. I am eager and interested to know more about what you have to say about the Word of God. So please, if you can, send anything that will enlighten me and open my heart as well as my eyes to the gospel of the Lord. Thank you ever so much, Christine, from Piscataway, New Jersey.
All right, praise the Lord. Send her a lot of the different literature, the tapes and the Bible and the Messiah book. Okay, what else?
Next letters from Taifa, Accra, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, I am very blissful to write you this letter. How are you? I hope by the grace of God you are fit as a fiddle. Pastor Alamo, the reason why I am writing you this letter is that I was a sinner. I chose to fight with my mother, playing gambling with my friends, and also joining bad friends. But because I heard a story about you, and also I read a book of yours, I can now see in my heart that I have repented. And because of that, I continue to read the book of yours, because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pastor Lamo, may the Most High God richly bless you, because if it were not for you, I would have been somewhere playing gambling, but because of your book I read, I have now repented from my sins. Pastor Lamo, please.
Right, there's so much work to do for the Lord. There's no time to be watching cartoons, movies. There's no time to be gambling or doing any of the other things, fornicating. Whatever you're doing is let's consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Why? Because God requires it of every person. In the New Testament, they all must become saints. They all must become holy. They all must be part of the body of Christ. So consecration is extremely important. To say that you're a Christian and not be consecrated unto the Lord, to say that you're a Christian and not be doing the work of God, you become a serpent, a hypocrite, somebody that is like a whited or whitewashed tombstones. But underneath you, inside you, are dead man bones. You're like a serpent, a snake. The Lord tells you to put it all on the altar. And he requires that we do the things. We have justice and judgment and mercy on those in the world. If we don't have justice, judgment, and mercy on those in the world, we're not ones that cause trouble or are irritated at the front runners of God here on earth, but that we are full of justice, judgment, equity, and mercy. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want your gift on the altar unless you first sanctify yourself, unless you first be on the altar yourself, unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the garments of the priesthood. Talks about the different clothing that the Lord has the people wear so that people know that they're priests. There are the special garments of Aaron in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. And this is just a symbolic mean. The symbolic meaning of that is in the New Testament, where we put on Christ. And Christ is not a person that just talked or just listened to the gospel, but he's the one that put himself completely on the altar and stated that his will was to do everything that the Father wanted him to do. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Amen.
And he said, now follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Come on and follow me now. In other words, go through my footsteps. Be what I want you to be. Deal mercy, justice, and judgment. Now, some of the judgment that the Lord gave was that he fashioned a whip. And people that were hypocrites, that were using the church to make money, he took the whip and beat them out of it. But you don't see that sort of zeal today. You see a bunch of these merchants that are using the gospel for their own pleasure. And they have never consecrated themselves. They've never gotten themselves on the altar. And they have their own opinions of what is right and wrong. As a matter of fact, they actually judge the very elect, the people that God has chosen. And everyone knows, especially the sinner out there, knows that these people are preaching the truth and that they're teaching the truth because they get saved from the messages that we bring. And yet they are in the house of the Lord, exactly where many of these people would like to be, and they irritate. But the Lord has rewards for them. The same reward it belongs to them as Jesus stated would happen to these other Pharisees. He said there are Christians back then and there were Pharisees back then. He says, how can you escape the fire of hell? You hypocrites, you phonies, you people that are totally against the people of God. He says, you tell people that if you would have been living in the days that your fathers, that our fathers destroyed the prophets, we would not have taken part with them. But the Lord says that they're even planning to kill Christ with God in him. The most evil, wicked, fantastically evil and wicked people, the same ones I see around me today. People that call themselves Christians that are so anti-true Christianity that I just cringe for their soul. Lord, I pray that you in some way break them to where they can see the reality of what the Bible really means. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, now continue on with the letter.
Pastor Lamo, please, I need literature, a Bible, booklets, and also if you have a music cassette, please send me at least three or five.
Yeah, the, the people that I'm talking about wouldn't take a nickel out of their pocket or the effort, really, to go ahead and get this stuff to people. They wouldn't do it. They have to be made to do it sometimes, or they know they wouldn't be able to even abide in the house of God or have any food to eat, because the Bible said if you don't do the work of the Lord, you're not to eat. Okay, go ahead.
Especially send the Bible and literature, because if one becomes a Christian, the first thing the person needs is a Bible. So try and bring me one, and also the literature, because the literature carries the only plan of salvation. I would like to end here. Thank you. I wish you and your ministry a long life and prosperity. Yours sincerely, David, from Taifa, Accra, Ghana, Africa.
I wish you the same thing, brother. All right, now where's the next letter from?
From Gwynedd, United Kingdom.
From from England, right? The United Kingdom, the UK. All right, read it.
Dear Tony, I listen to your show on shortwave, and I find it very interesting. Sorry for this short note, but could you send me some of your mission message CDs, especially any of your shortwave shows? Regards, Mike from Gwynedd, United Kingdom.
Right. Yeah, tune in. I've got hundreds of these tapes. We'll send you a bunch of them every week. Keep sending tapes to him, okay?
Okay.
And then what else?
That was the last letter.
All right, so now we get into How to Have God's Life Living in You, Part 74. All right? Now let's finish up from what we started yesterday, which we were just wrapping up from yesterday, all right? And that is the great white throne of judgment. You know, I've noticed that the evil people, the more scriptures that they hear, the more angry they get, the more frustrated they get, and the more argumentative they get. But the people that are coming into the Lord, they become more humble, and they realize that it's the Lord dealing with them. And so they just surrender themselves unto the Lord. These are people where the seed has been sown into good soil. Okay, let's start.
There is no condemnation for those who know Jesus.
Right. If you know Jesus, that means that he's living in you. That means you have salvation, and that means that you have consecrated yourself. Because if you haven't consecrated yourself after salvation, you're not going to be saved long. Now, you've got a bunch of people that are preaching part of the gospel, but they don't tell you the part of being consecrated unto the Lord and living a holy life. They tell you that it's all right to sin. That's the exact opposite of what the gospel says. Now, this is a holy God that observes when he just glances at heaven and the earth. All the heavens and the earth, they flee from him on the day of judgment. That's how powerful he is. And he's so holy that even the universe flees from him. So what do you think would happen to you when you're standing there laden with sin, and that you thought that Jesus died to shed his blood so that you can go and sin some more? What kind of an evil person would it be that would think such a thing as that? He's exceedingly holy. His great white throne is white, and which means purity. It depicts complete purity of God. And he said there's nothing that's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven that defiles people that use their own carnal judgment and just choose to live the way they want to. They just live the way they just make up during the day, or they listen to their little boyfriends or their little girlfriends of how they're going to live their life, and they all agree with their little carnal minds that they're not going to do what the Lord says. They're just going to live their little girly or little boy the way that they think that it should be, rather than to search out the scriptures to see the real way that it is. And what a shock to them when they stand before God, because in this world they honor little children when they commit crimes. They don't make them go to the electric chair or to the gas chamber, or they don't tell them that they have to be beheaded. The government's bringing in many guillotines into the country now because that's what they want to do, is to cut people's heads off. But the Lord is bringing down plagues because of the fact that people just want to make up their own style of living. And it's not going to work at the judgment bar of God. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that maybe why you hate the Word of God so much. And if you hate it as much as I think you do, some of you, God has sent you strong delusions so that you actually believe your plan of salvation rather than to receive the plan of salvation that the Lord has ordained for every human being, everyone that is born again of the Spirit, everyone that lives in the Lord is not guilty. Read that last statement.
There is no condemnation for those who know Jesus.
Yeah, because you can't know Jesus and not have him living in you. In order to know Jesus, you must have the God's life living in you. You know Jesus is God. He said he's the Father, and he said also that he's the Holy Spirit as well. Because the three parts of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are all one. So when Jesus came into the world, God was with him. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with him. So when Jesus went to the cross, the Father also went to the cross with him. And so did the Spirit. So say, well, then if God went on the cross, how was it that he was able to be up in heaven? Well, the Lord says, I'll lay my life down and I will raise my life up. No man has the power to kill me. I willingly lay my life down and I will definitely raise my life up on the third day. So he's the Holy Spirit. He says, I am the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
I am the resurrection and I am the life, the eternal life. There isn't anyone on this earth that won't live on forever. Everyone on this earth is going to live forever, either in the pit of hell, in the lake of fire, or in the kingdom of heaven. This is a very short life that we're living now. And it seems like a lot of people want to live for today, and they don't live for the millions and millions and billions and trillions of years. So they don't want to deny themselves in this world to do exactly what the Lord says so that they can live hundreds of zillions and billions and trillions of years eternally. This little short life that they live, which could end any time, 1 minute from now, 1 second from now, would put them eternally in hell and then the lake of fire on the last day, where they're going to be suffering forever and ever. So the most important thing would be for people to invest their life in Christ in this world so that they can have an eternity of bliss. Heavenly bliss. But if they want to live their life according to this life, I was just hearing a preacher saying, he used to like to go out and have sex. It took 2 minutes, and then he'd realize when the Lord was convicting him that he invested 2 minutes of time and he sold his soul for the rest of eternity. What profit would it be for you to have any enjoyment, if you can squeeze any enjoyment out of this life at all, other than what enjoyment the Lord gives you? I enjoy the Lord. I really enjoy him, and I enjoy knowing that if the breath goes out of my body, I'm going to be in heaven. And I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. I would hate to think that I sold my soul. There's a little girl in this church that, Abigail, she said she stole a pen or a pencil or some other little trinket so that she could get in the clique of a couple of other little wayward brats, demonic children. And she said now she's under conviction. And she had received the Holy Spirit. But what she doesn't realize is the severity of God. She, in other words, would rather be in a clique with a couple of little girls rather than to spend eternity with the Lord for millions of years. She'd be in the clique and sell her soul to hell in the lake of fire forever for stealing a little pencil. That's how much her soul means to her. That's why when Esau sold his birthright, his soul, for a bowl of beans, that's what she sold hers for, even less than that, because it didn't. She had all the food she wanted here at the church, and she had all the clothes she needed, and she had a place to sleep. There was no problem with food, but she just wanted to be in a clique, and so she stole a pan and two other trinkets just so she could be in the clique, and never thought even one second of what it meant to be burning in the lake of fire forevermore. Well, you say, well, God wouldn't do that. Well, then why does God command that we're consecrated unto him? Why? Why would we have to go through all the different filth and the persecution that we go through? If there wasn't a hell, I would, the people that have attacked me, I would retaliate. And I think I would know how to retaliate better than they do. Because I knew how to retaliate before I was a Christian, and that's why people should know that I'm a Christian 41 and a half years, and I've never struck back at any of them. And there's been a lot of them that have been lying about me down through the years, and they're doing it right now. And they're only doing it because they know I'm a Christian. Nobody would dare do that before I was a Christian. Everybody knew what my story was. And they know what my story is. They're a bunch of stinking cowards that they do those things to Christians. They know they won't fight back. That's what they are. It's a bunch of serpents. Okay, continue on.
Thank God I'll never have to go to judgment. Thank God I'll never stand before the throne. Thank God that I will never have to go to court. You say, why? It's because I settled it out of court. And if you...
I settled it with the Lord Jesus Christ. 41 and a half years ago, I came to him and I said, I don't want to go to court, Lord. Set me free so that I don't have to be judged by the law. And I'm not going to sin anymore because I know if I did, the law, the moral law, would come down upon me and I'd be lost. People can't live on a daily basis breaking the law. If you're consecrated, if you've got on the altar and you've become like a heap of ashes, like a heifer was in the Old Testament, and you allowed the Lord to resurrect you, being saved is one thing, and then having consecration, to consecrate your life to fellowship with the Lord on a daily basis. There's a difference between just salvation or being saved, and then another one is to be consecrated. That is, consecrated means to fellowship with the Lord on a daily basis and for him to fellowship with you on a daily basis and for you to serve the Lord with a daily basis by allowing him to represent himself in and through you on a daily basis. If you're not doing that, well, then you're wasting your time. You might as well go out and do everything that you want to do, because you're going to go to hell if you say you're saved, if you're sitting in the house of God, and you've become a hypocrite and you decided to just guide your own path, and you don't care whether you go to, you're going to live for today, for the 2 minutes a pleasure, as this minister was saying. And just, I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care about judgment. I don't care about living in hell forevermore. The life you have to now is never going to end. Because when your body dies, then you go immediately to judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Bible says. You're not going to come back. There's no such thing as reincarnation. These people that say they have been reincarnated, no, what that is demons from a body that has the same weakness that you have. The body dies and the spirit looks for someplace else to live, and it enters into you. It could be a spirit of an alcoholic, or the spirit of a drug addict, or the spirit of somebody that likes to fornicate, or somebody that likes to lust over anything in this world, or whatever demon, a homosexual demon, or a lesbian, a demon of lesbianism. They just go and body hop, they enter into you, and maybe they're from China or something, the spirit. And all of a sudden they spoke English, but they can also, they put you under sodium pentothal, and you start speaking in Chinese, and all of a sudden people think that you are a reincarnation of King Tut or somebody, or maybe Mohaji Baba, you know, from Arabia, or some Chinese person, Mugu Gai Pan or something. That's not it. It's just a demon talking out of your mouth. That's what it is. So that, you know, that's, it kills the idea. The Bible says, no, you're not coming back again. And Jesus is not going to die again. He's alive forevermore. Once was enough, he says. Okay, continue on.
And if you, this morning or afternoon or evening, whatever time it is, if you want to settle it out of court, you had better come unto Jesus right now. If you don't want to hear, if you don't want him to pound the gavel saying you're guilty.
Yeah, he's the great judge. He has a gavel in his hand and says, guilty! Guilty! I never knew you! You wretch! You hypocrite! Depart from me, I never knew you, into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Spend eternity where I told you you would be. Now you know I'm the truth, and now you know that the word I preach is the truth. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you allowed me to live my life in and through you. But Lord, you know, we only live once, and that's all. You're not going to be saying that then. Then what?
You know, the door is open for people to get saved right now. It has been open for 2,000 years. This isn't about Tony Alamo. It's not about a church. It's about the Lord.
The Lord didn't say, I'm not preaching, believe on Tony Alamo and thou shalt be saved, or believe in my church, or the Pentecostal church, or the Baptist church, or any church, or any denomination, or anybody but Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying believe in Mary. She's not the Savior at all. Mary just gave birth to a man that had God living in him. How could she give birth to God? God is the one that created her. My mother gave birth to me. I have God living in me now. After the 30th year that I was alive, the Lord entered into me. But that doesn't mean that I'm God, or that my mother gave birth to a God, or any other of the millions of people that have been born again of the Spirit entered them and made them saved, and they had God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living in them. That doesn't mean they're God. We're just members of Christ's body. Okay, then what?
It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what it's not about, Mary. I met a couple of people from I think it was Korea today, wasn't it? Where are they from?
Vietnam.
And they says, you're not Catholic, are you? They worship Mary. They don't worship, they don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary is their God. I said, that's exactly what I've been preaching for years. I says, you know that, right? And they says, oh, yes. They say, Mary is no God. We've never been told to believe on Mary and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ only. No church, no, not me, not anybody else. But Jesus, amen?
Amen.
It's salvation only in Jesus. Okay, then what?
It's about you and Jesus. Whether you are going to come to him this very day, in your living room or in your vehicle, or wherever you're at, and let him apply by faith his blood on your soul. Are you going to refuse him again? Are you going to ridicule him again? Right now, everybody that is listening to my voice, I want you to get right with Jesus, get right with God. Everyone on the face of this planet needs Jesus. I want you to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you are right now before the final judgment. I'm offering Christ to you. I've preached today about Revelation chapter 20. This is the third message on it, and I pray that there will be millions of souls that come to Jesus through this message. A lot of people say, I'm not joining any church because there are hypocrites there. Those are the same people that participate and sing in the church and are night watchmen and witness and testify in the streets.
Yeah, there's hypocrites in the church, but the Lord never told you to believe on the hypocrites. He told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to ignore the hypocrites, the ones that don't listen to what they're told. Then what?
People who say they party together, the same old things they're doing out there in the world today, they do. The people that are sitting right in churches. God's going to say, I didn't tell you to believe on the hypocrites. I told you to believe on me. I didn't tell you to worry about what the folks are doing in the church.
No, there's all kind of people in the church that mess up. What a perfect place for Satan to come and enter into is the church. You always have demonic people in church. Jesus had 1 out of 12. And, well, you know, we've got literally millions now, and so you know that there's going to be devils in here. They don't bother the church of these churches that don't have the Lord, because the devil already has them. He comes in and annoys and does everything in his power to split the true church of the Lord down the middle. And they do everything they can to demean or bring character assassination against the pastors or the godly people in the church. Okay, and then go ahead, what else?
The day is going to come that I'm going to separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's what Jesus said. He's going to do it, and it's very soon. He says there's chaff to be burnt. And he calls people that are the hypocrites and the ones that are the devils in the churches. He calls them the hypocrites and the chaff and the goats. But the people that are of the Lord are the sheep, and they're the wheat. Now, there's some people that aren't worth anything but to burn according to the Lord. And, you know, of course, we're not going to burn them, but the Lord says he's going to. We're all made and composed of atoms. And within those atoms is firepower. And those atoms, the firepower in them, are going to ignite. And you'll be burnt. All God has to do is say the word. And that'll happen. Then what?
I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats, Jesus says. But I did tell you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, one more time, I'm offering Jesus Christ to you. Ask the Lord to come into your heart right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask those of you that would like to consecrate yourself unto the Lord to say a prayer. But first, I'd like to show you what the meaning of consecration is. And so I've done a little message this evening on consecration. Do the one that I just did on the tape today. Okay? So that you know what it means to be consecrated. Go ahead.
I've been teaching how to have God's life living in you. but now I want to continue by teaching you that there is a second part of the spiritual life.
Yeah, there's a second part, and then there's third and fourth parts, and so on and so forth. But this is the second part of after you have God's life living in you. Okay, go ahead.
The experience of abiding in Jesus.
You have to experience Christ living continuously in you. Now, when you receive salvation, he enters into you, but then you have to have him living in and through you. Go ahead.
Now, abiding in Jesus and being in Christ are different.
Yeah. So, you have Christ in you, and then you have to, the second part is to have the Lord abiding in you, living in you. Like, if you have a house, and you rent it out to somebody, they don't want you living in the house with them. They pay the rent, they want to move in, and you get out. Okay, the Lord says, don't you know that you're my house, and you don't belong to yourself, and I want you to just get out of the house and let me do the living in you. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, well, he's got to pay rent. No, he bought us. Amen?
Amen.
He bought us with his, he purchased us, the Bible said, with his blood. And so he wants to abide, and he wants us to abide in him. Now, we ask him in, and then all of a sudden you start sinning the next day or later on that night, and that means you let him come into the house because it's his, because he paid the price for you, and then you tell him, okay, now leave, I want to sin for a while. Now, after I'm done sinning, you can come back in, okay? But I'm kicking you out of the house right now because I want to have sex with somebody. Or I'm going to take some weed right now. I'm going to smoke some boo. I want to smoke a joint. Or I want to get loaded here. Or I want to, my mind right now, I want to fantasize about some filthy thing or another. Now, I want you to leave now, Jesus. You better not say that because that's not abiding in Christ or letting Christ abide in you. Amen?
Amen.
You ask him in and then you kick him out. And you have the power to do that because you have a free moral agent, but he's not going to come back in. Now, if you are ignorant of that, that's one thing, and maybe the Lord will let you repent. And if you do, well, fine. But don't do it again, because now you know. Okay? Go ahead.
Although both tell of your and my relationship with Jesus or Jesus' life, yet the matters that I'm talking about are different. Quote, in Christ, unquote, means that that's the fact of our sharing what Christ is and our oneness with Christ.
So you get saved and you start telling people about Jesus. Then what?
That's what in Christ means. This is referring to our sharing what Christ is with the others, and it also means that we are one with Christ. Now, quote, abiding in Christ, unquote, is the same as, or it is the experience of our fellowship with Jesus and our enjoying Jesus.
Right, because we're not our own. We are the temple of God. And you may not like this part of the Bible. Some people just say, well, I like that first part of the message, but I don't like this part. I don't want Jesus to live in me. I don't care if he bought me or not. I have my own life to live. And Jesus has his own life to live too, and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to be the continuation of his incarnation. He wants to live out his life in you. So, he says, or I might kill you. There's always the threat. He says, I'll destroy you if you forget me. He says, those that forget me, I'll tear you to pieces. And those that don't abide, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Because, and not only abide, but to abide with zeal, I'll spit you out of my body, and you will stand judgment at the great white throne. And I'm going to do what I said. I'm not a liar like you are. I tell the truth. I am the truth. Not only the way, and the life, but I'm the truth. And you better believe what I say. Now, Columbus believed what I said, and I told him that the world is round. That's why he had the guts to go out to sea and keep sailing, because he knew he wasn't going to fall off the end, because he actually believed God. Okay, then what?
Before we were saved, before we became one with Christ, we were originally living in Adam, and we shared the things that were of Adam, and that is the world.
Yeah. Now, if you're still sharing the world, then you're not in Christ. You're not abiding with Christ. You're abiding with Adam because you love the world so much. You love your whatever it is. Even some people go and send their soul to hell because they love to watch cartoons all day long and all night, and sometimes all into the night. They never think about praying. Praying to them is... because they don't realize the danger around them. We've just been raided by a bunch of supposed to be police officers in our Los Angeles church, and they're looking to close us down. And they were intimidating our people, and they had their hands on their guns like we had done something wrong. And so they asked... our brothers asked them, what have we done wrong? Why are you got your hands on the guns and everything like that? And they said, what are you doing over here? Do you know that this property, who this property belongs to? It belongs to Tony Alamo. That property does not belong to me at all. But they said, in other words, like I'm some bad guy for teaching you people in Radio Land and everywhere, even when we're distributing literature, I'm teaching you how to escape the great white throne judgment and escape hell. That makes me a bad guy. And this big cop was about 6'8", they said. He had his fist double up and one fist double up and the other one on his gun. My boy was telling me about that. He was the one out there that, one of the ones that he was threatening. And we even had a security cop out there, and the security cop was saying, what's the matter? He said, what are you being a security cop over here for? Don't you know who owns this property? Don't you know what they preach? They preach against my church, the Catholic Church. No, actually, the Catholic has been the ones that have been attacking us for years, and they're the ones that burned up Waco, and the Lord told me they were going to burn us up as well if I wouldn't split the church up and get into other churches, open other churches in the world. And so I did it, and the Lord told me to get off the ridge where all of us were. And he says they won't be able to get you all at one time. And so I did that. And so it's so nice to know the Lord and to know everything he says and be consecrated to him. Consecration means that you fellowship with him, that you're talking to him and he's talking back to you. But the people that love to watch cartoons, they don't care anything about hearing from the Lord. They want to listen to Porky the Pig, or at least I'm talking to some of the kids in this church. And some of the people, you know, they give a bad taste in people's mouth about this church because people believe the message that I'm preaching. I remember when they had me in court on another bogus charge, they said I wanted to do something bad to a federal judge, and I won that case. But they said, the prosecutor, I want to get out on bail. So the bail hearing says, don't let him out on bail. He tells people that the government is the devil and people believe him. People were there in that courtroom from all over the world, from China, Japan, Italy, Germany, everywhere. The place was so crowded they had to put bleachers in the courtroom for him, and they had to refuse. Hundreds of them, they were out in the hallway, but they were there, reporters from all over the world. This was years ago, and I'm very well known all over the world, and that's really something to me, because here we were, just in a little town called Dyer, Arkansas. I thought, my God, popular. Okay, well, go ahead.
When we received the Lord as our Savior, God translated us from Adam into Christ. This is the first stage of our experience of life. So what I do is I call this, and the Bible calls this stage of regeneration, It calls it in Christ.
Right. So we have Christ in us, and then we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us. That's real Christianity. People that are bored and just can't wait to get to bed and things like that when they're listening to a message, they're not in Christ. Well, we worked hard all day washing our own dishes after we fixed our own food and stuff like that. You know, I don't expect to see them in heaven. Then what?
After you and I are saved and have been attracted by the love of the Lord, we go after Jesus more. We consecrate ourselves to Him and have various kinds of things that we do with Him, different dealings with Him. Therefore, we enter into the second part of the experience of life.
Right. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells of the way that Aaron's clothing caused him, it says he has to be consecrated to wear a certain kind of clothing, priestly clothing. Well, the Lord made us priests. So start reading from this point here.
This ethical understanding of God's holiness is found throughout the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 23,
which is like consecration. Okay, then what? Abiding in Christ. Then what? And Christ abiding in you. Then what?
In Matthew chapter 23, verse 16 through 24, Jesus criticized the scribes and Pharisees on the basis of their neglect of justice, mercy, and faith.
Right. Well, see, he didn't just criticize them. He told them they were going to hell. Okay, have you got that scripture? Matthew what?
Chapter 23, verse 16 through 24.
Right.
Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind.
Yeah, see, that's like saying you're swearing by the temple. The Lord's going to come back and live in his temple. He's living in his temple right now. We are the temple of the Lord. But the gold of the temple, the gold that we have, is nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, only if we're on the... Okay, then what else?
For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?
Yeah, if we're sanctified... Now, the clothing that was put on Aaron is just symbolic of us being clothed with righteousness. We have to have Christ clothing us, and we have to be in Christ. How do we have the Christ as our clothing? We have to live in Him. Then He's our outer garment and our inner garment when He's in us. Okay, then what?
And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty.
Right, so we have to be on the altar as a gift. And we have to receive Christ in us. And He has mercy, judgment, and justice in Him. And if we're dead to our old life and we're allowing the Lord to live in and through us, then there isn't anything that the altar can do except destroy us and let God live. All right? Because when they brought the altars, when they brought these different sacrifices to the altar, they cut them to pieces. They killed them. They put them on the altar, and they became heaps of ashes. The animals were no longer themselves. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what it's talking about right here, is the altar, the gift that's on the altar is nothing. In other words, if you've got gold in your pocket, that doesn't mean anything unless your whole life is dead and Christ is living in and through you. You could give all the money you have in the world, but if you're a hypocrite, if you don't have Christ living in you, if you're not on the altar, you as a person rather than your gold. In other words, the Lord's saying, why do you donate stuff without yourself being saved, without God living in you? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Jesus has to be living in you with the Father by the Spirit. And you have to be totally committed. In other words, he is your garment, he is your life, he's everything that you think of and that you serve during the day. Otherwise, any amount of money that you give to the church is of no value. He says, take care of your soul first. Get me living in you. I want you to abide in me and to be my, let me live out my life in and through you, and I want you to live in me so I can be your outer garment and the inward parts of you. I want you to go to the altar and give your entire being to yourself and then bring your gold to the altar. Amen?
Amen.
Your worldly goods. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That's what consecration means. Well, I see that my time is up, and like I said, before you go to the great white throne, you don't want to go there at all. You want to have the Lord living in you so that you're feeling safe all the time, and that you are safe for sure. It's not just a feeling. You're safe. You're saved from hell. Saved from what? Saved from an everlasting eternity. Your life that you have now is the very life that's going to spend eternity in either heaven or in the lake of fire, in anguish and pain, and no rest, and no food, no water, no nothing. All right, so you can say this, just say this prayer. I mean, for your own good. I'm not making any money on you. We're spending tens of thousands of dollars for these radio broadcasts every month, and that's coming out of our pockets, not yours. But forget about the money. Get your soul saved with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in, wash me from all my filthy sins. Abide in me. And I want to abide in you, Lord, and keep myself consecrated unto you for the rest of my days so that I can spend eternity forever with you in heaven. I do not want to go to the great white throne and cast into hell and then the lake of fire. I know, Lord, you will not turn me away. I know you'll save my soul because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Let's raise your hands up and thank and praise the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this tape. Please specify if you want a CD or a tape.
Go to alamoministries.com. Or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
And as for program 176, well, I see my time is up, and so until tomorrow, make sure you tune in. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, praise the Lord, and keep abiding in Christ. Amen.